that there were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong. And the base things of the world and the despised God has chosen. The things that are not, so that he may nullify the things that are, so that no man may boast before God. But by his doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that just as it is written, let him who boasts boast in the Lord. You say, what's going on in this text of Scripture that we're going to look at for a bit this morning from 1 Corinthians chapter 1? Well, we're going to see two basic things. First of all, there is a gospel message, and that gospel message is all about Christ and him crucified. Do you see that in verse 23? Paul says, we preach Christ, the Messiah, Jesus. We preach the Lord Jesus Christ, how? Crucified. God come in the flesh, going to a cross, suffering and dying. That's the heart of the gospel. That's why there's a cross on the wall right behind me. This is the essence of Christianity, that there is a crucified Christ. How does the world look at that? Well, the world, basically, people that are perishing, they see that as foolishness. They see that as weakness. Notice verse 18, please. The word of the cross is what? Foolishness to those who are perishing. Drop down to verse 21. For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. It's all foolishness to most people. I mean, here you are, and you've been brainwashed, right? And you've been raised in some kind of what? Super conservative church where you've been taught that the Bible is true and just believe in Jesus and all of your sins will be forgiven. I had someone say just a couple of weeks ago to me, so you're going to tell me that for all the people who live in India or Africa and they never believed in Jesus and they're good people and they take care of their families and they're nice, they don't go to heaven? And that if you're really a bad person and a wicked person and you just believe what the Bible says even at the end of your life, and somehow you then get to go to heaven? I don't think so. And that's what many people believe. It's foolishness. This whole gospel message is foolishness. It's weakness, right? Religious people like the Jews tend not to believe it. Look at verse 22. Jews, what do they want? They want a sign. They want to see something big. Notice verse 23. Thus for them, to the Jews, Christ, the cross, is a stumbling block. I would never believe that. You want me to believe Jesus is my Messiah and then he goes to a cross? I know what the Bible says. Cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. I'm not going to believe in a crucified Messiah. That's what religious people often say. And then you have other people that are maybe less formally religious, at least, the Gentiles. Notice what happens, verse 22, the Greeks, what do? They search for wisdom. And it says to them, verse 23, Christ crucified is what? To the Gentiles, foolishness. I mean, you're going to give me that little pamphlet, you're going to give me that little tract, you're going to talk to me about John 3:16, right? You're going to go through the wordless book with me. You're going to take this simple message. Yeah, maybe when you're 5 years old, it makes sense. And then you grow up and you get smart. Hello? And you expect me to believe this? We have a young lady, younger. Almost everybody's getting to be young to me. Someone recently said, thanks for calling me young. Young, that is increasing, right? We have a young woman that is back from Western Asia. She'll be presenting her ministry in the weeks to come. I'm not naming her just because we record these messages. And I was talking with her. Nancy and I were out with her just recently. She's teaching in a school that is filled with Muslim children. And these are special kids in the sense they're the cream of the crop. This is a school for gifted children. I use the sense gifted. These are the people, many will leave that country, come to the United States and go to Harvard and go to Yale. It's that type of school, very high level, invitation only. You have to have very high test scores to get in. And so she is there for the sake of the gospel, not because of an educational burden, but she's using education as a vehicle to make friends and present the gospel. And it was interesting when she explained to me with these incredibly bright kids that as they get to know her, these are high school age young people, that sooner or later, obviously, it comes up, she's a Christian. She makes sure it comes up. And they are so amazed. Because, see, these are the brightest. You say, but they're Muslim kids. Don't they really believe? As she explains it, most of them really don't. They are the brightest. They are the sharpest. They realize that even many people who believe what their culture teaches, that they're just more simple people who believe a foolish message. And that's even what many people in our country believe, right? Who would believe this message of a crucified Christ? But those are the ones who are perishing. To those who are saved, to those who know Christ and their sin is forgiven, what do we see in this message? It's the wisdom and the power of God. Notice verse 18 again. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. You say, who are those people? Well, verse 21 tells us, for since in the wisdom, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached, notice the end of 21, to save those who believe. Those who are saved are the ones who believe this message. Those who are saved know that this message is not foolish. That we see in this message the wisdom and the power of God. So the question is, who then is a person who believes this message? They see in Christ crucified the wisdom and the power of God. Well, this text makes it very clear. It's the gospel believer. It's the person who is in Jesus Christ because he has been called to know Jesus Christ in a very personal and real way. Notice verse 24, please. But to those who are the called. Notice that word called. We're going to see it again in verse 26. For consider your calling. Whom does God call to be in Christ, to be forgiven of all of their sin, and to spend eternity in heaven with him? Well, notice what the text says. God doesn't call wise, mighty, noble people. Notice verse 26. Consider your calling, brethren, that there were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble. The first step to being a believer is to realize I am not wise, I am not spiritually wise, I am not spiritually noble, I am not spiritually mighty. But verse 27, God has chosen whom? The foolish things. Those are people, people like me, foolish people. God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong. And the base things of the world and the despised, God has chosen the things that are not so that he may nullify the things that are. Spiritually, do you realize that you are a foolish, weak person? If you, in your heart of hearts, don't believe that you are spiritually foolish and weak, I would invite you to come to Jesus and become a Christian. See, there's only one kind of Christianity. Because there's only one kind of person God calls to be saved. The only people that are invited to come to Jesus are people who recognize I am foolish, I am weak. See, strong, wise people don't need a Savior. If you have it all together and you don't struggle, and you're just, you know, I'm like a self-made man or self-made woman. Just think of the two people running for president in our country. And I don't think the word humility would come to mind with either one. If you are into a, I can handle life, I am strong, there's no gospel for you. Because God doesn't invite those kinds of people. God invites people who look in the mirror and say, I am spiritually a failure. I am weak and I am foolish and I need a Savior. And there's only one Savior, and He's a crucified Savior, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. So to say, hey, Greg, man, I'm pushing back on you. Don't you call me spiritually foolish and weak. My response is, well, then I can't call you a Christian. Because there are no Christians except people who are called. And the only people who are called are the people who confess, Lord, I am foolish and weak. I am a sinful person. I don't have it together. I desperately need help. And then what happens? That's the kind of person for whom Christ becomes wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. See, that's what the text says. You see that here? It says of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you see this in verse 30? But by His doing. See, God's the one who does this. You are in Christ Jesus. That means you're a believer. You're a Christian. And for you, Christ is wisdom. Man, I don't have any wisdom, but Christ is my wisdom. And righteousness. I don't have any righteousness, but Christ is my righteousness. Sanctification. I don't have any holiness, but Christ is my holiness. And redemption. Some would refer to that as glorification. There is no way in myself I could ever be glorified, but Christ is my redemption. Some people see these last three, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, basically as justification, progressive sanctification, and glorification. Christ is my salvation. I don't have any wisdom, but I have Christ. I don't have any righteousness. I don't have any holiness. I don't have any possibility of ever being glorified, but I have Christ. And who gets Christ? People who are willing to admit they're losers. We've talked about this before. Christianity is not for winners. See, if I look in the mirror and say, I'm the man, I have it together, no Christ for you. Christianity is for people who look in the mirror and say, I am a wicked sinner. I am spiritually foolish. Lord, I have no wisdom. I am a mess. I need a Savior. And I believe it's Jesus, the crucified Christ. And you know what the Lord says? The Lord says, come on. Come on. You're going to be one of mine. You are a Christian. And when you confess your sin and you believe that Jesus went to that cross, suffered, died, was buried, rose again for your sin, then you enter the family and you become one of God's children. As long as you think you're a winner, as long as you think you're somebody, there's no gospel for you. Because Jesus doesn't die for winners. Jesus dies for people like me. Wicked, no spiritual wisdom, spiritually weak, but saying, Lord, I need help. And I acknowledge who I am. And the Lord says, then the gospel's for you. And Christ will be your wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. And thus, we end with this last point. Then, what do we boast in? Notice verse 29. Well, no man may boast before God. I mean, how can you boast in being foolish? See, all the people that are driving by Subaru Road looking at this ministry and other ministries filled with people coming together, right? They're all saying, wow, why do they believe such a simple, stupid message? Well, in a sense, to a certain degree, they're right. We are incredibly simple people that are foolish enough, quote unquote, to take God at His word, to say, I am a wicked sinner. Lord, I need help. And then God says the gospel is for you. and then I'm forgiven, and then I'm one of God's children, which means I have nothing to boast in. At the end of the service, we're all going to head out, go home, go out to eat, go to family's house, wherever you go. And you know what a lot of Christians do? A lot of Christians see all the people pulling their boats and riding their motorcycles and having their picnics, and they think, boy, look at those people. I'm coming home from church. See, I'm one of the good people. That's not the gospel at all. You know what happens when we leave the parking lot in a little bit and head out? We see all the other people spending their Sunday doing other things. And in our hearts, we're thinking, I'm so glad, Lord, that by your grace you helped me realize that I'm a fool, that I'm weak, that I needed you. And thank you that Jesus would die for weak, foolish people like me. That's verse 31. So that just as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. That's why I've called this meditation a foolish celebration. God saves weak, foolish people who believe the gospel. You say, Greg, I'm going to believe the gospel, but I don't believe I'm weak and foolish. You can't. You can't. You can't have it both ways. Christ doesn't die for winners. He dies for losers. People that will come to the cross on their knees and cry out for mercy. And those are the kind of people God saves. See, we're not the good people. We're not the really nice people. We are the people who realize how less than good, how evil we are. And we acknowledge it. And we believe the gospel. And God saves us. And now that we see this gospel, what do? We see God's wisdom and power. And this message that maybe even to us used to be considered foolishness, and other people still consider it foolishness, we now go, wait a second, no, this is wonderful that the Lord in his wisdom and power would save incredibly wicked people like me through a crucified Christ. And then we're humbled as we say, Lord, man, I have nothing to be proud of, unless you want to say I'm proud of the fact that I realize I'm such a fool. There's no boasting. There is no boasting in ourselves, but there is boasting in the Lord Jesus Christ. And thus, as we pull this to a close and conclusion, as we observe the Lord's table, we remember the crucified Christ, who saved foolish and weak sinners like us. That's what the Lord's table is about. It's remembering who Jesus is and what he has done. So if you're just thinking this morning, Greg, I'm just going to be honest with you. I refuse to consider myself spiritually foolish and weak, okay? We're going to pass a plate of bread and we're going to pass a little bit of juice and you would not partake. Because the Lord's table is for people who believe the gospel. The gospel is for people who come to the cross and say, Lord, I'm broken. I am sinful. I am not spiritually wise or strong. I need Christ. And that's called salvation. If you know Jesus Christ, when that piece of bread comes by, when that little glass of juice comes by that we'll talk about in a bit, then you would be invited to partake. If you say, man, I'm not really understanding all this, then you would just want to sit back and watch and see what takes place. While those of us who, by God's grace, realize how wickedly sinful and broken we are, have an opportunity to remember what Christ has done for us and rejoice in that. Would you please stand? And we're going to pray in just a moment. I'm going to ask our elders that will be helping us with the Lord's table to come forward. They're going to make their way forward, and then I'm going to pray. And then in just a moment, we'll talk about what we mean by observing the Lord's table. But as we begin, let's pray.